Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Star Medicine Podcast, your source for astrology wisdom, divinatory practice, and deeper connection to your purpose. With your host, astrologer Jennifer Edwards.
Happy Venus Day. We arrive again at the Cosmic Witching Hour. Welcome to Star Medicine Podcast. I have some wonderful astrology informing for you as we move into the 2023 eclipse season. We have eclipses every year, and we need eclipses in our lives because when we're on this journey of our life, oftentimes we get very stuck in our analytical mind, and we do not let go of things that we have outgrown or keep us from growing. And in comes the eclipse energy. Now, before I start this whole program, it's really important that I mention that astrology and the energies and the frequencies that are all around us are meant to provide growth in our lives. We should never be afraid of astrology or the energy being presented to us because it is meant to help us. And the only time that we find that people tend to be scared, to be found out is usually when they're not being honest or in their truest self and they risk exposure. But, you know, by and large, this is about understanding who you are, how you can grow, and sort of deciphering the energy that's being presented to us at this time. So as we embark on the 2023 eclipse season, we are going to be starting with the axis of Aries and Libra. And the last time we experienced eclipses in Aries and Libra would have been from 2014, 15, and 16, I believe. They ended in 2016 with an eclipse in Libra. However, when we look at eclipse energy, in order to understand the wisdom that's being presented to us, we have to go back 19 years. And the reason for that is because the north node, the transit north node in the sky, the elliptical node, it repeats, it's in a 19-year cycle. So basically the last time the north node was in the last few degrees of Taurus and getting ready to move into Aries would have been in the spring and fall of 2004. This is important because the energies that are coming back are energies from that period of time. And this is how astrology works. It works in cycles and patterns. In fact, the eclipses that we are experiencing this year are at the exact degree and, you know, a few hours off of the eclipses that happened in 2004. So what are we looking for when we look at energy of the past? We have to understand that the planets are not in the same place. And we're talking about the eclipse of the moon. So we're looking at emotional energy coming back from that period of time. And we want to look at what we chose back then and what we chose. Oftentimes we'll find that it is highly possible that you will get similar circumstances even with the same people. Or you'll get the opportunity to break a cycle or continue a cycle. Usually it's choosing things out of informing from fear. Like, am I going to, you know, fear of the unknown, fear of not being safe, but going against the heart's truth and staying very rooted in the mind's need for to stay in that identity and to be in safety. So we're getting the opportunity to grow here from lessons that are coming back from that period of time. Now, in the spring and fall of 2004, we were experiencing the eclipses of Aries and Libra coming in. and Taurus and Scorpio moving out, which is very much what is happening this year as well. We are going to be talking about the solar eclipse in Aries at 29 degrees, which will be on the East Coast Eastern Time, April 20th at 12:12 a.m. So for the rest of the country, it will appear to you on April 19th. And we will only be focusing on that eclipse, and on a later show, we will talk about the last lunar eclipse in Scorpio until 2031. So what can we expect around this energy? Now we understand what the premise of eclipses are, why it shakes things up in our lives, why we need eclipse energy, and the opportunities that it can bring, what we can step into and finally have the courage to walk into the truest version of ourselves. Well, when we talk about the eclipse that's going to be happening on April 20th, East Coast time, at 29 degrees Aries, we have to talk about the new moon that we experienced during the equinox on March 21st. And that new moon was in Aries, and it occurred at 0 degrees. So 0 degrees and 29 degrees are both Arnetic degrees. 0 degrees is the beginning of a sign, 29 degrees is the end of the sign. And so when we had that new moon, which was not an eclipse, we started a journey that is going to end during the balsamic moon phase as the moon moves through Aries next week before it gets to the final degree and has the solar eclipse. So it's like a doorway. So we're profoundly letting go during this moon cycle. And in between the new moon on the 20th of March, 21st of March, we did have a full moon in Libra. And now we're in the waning moon cycle into the next solar eclipse new moon period. So this all of 2023 has been an epic transition into really looking at our lives from the perspective that our energy creates everything around us. And that is at a subconscious level. So if we are showing up for things out of guilt and obligation, if we are showing up out of two things out of duty, if we are showing up to things out of tradition or out of fear, we are going to see things that attract to you to get you out of that stronghold, to get you to see that you need to start moving towards your purpose. And I mean, that's a whole other dialogue around life purpose points. But if you're curious, you can look at your natal chart, find the north node in your natal chart, and that'll show you a little bit about where your soul's growth is located. Now, back to the point, when we're talking about Aries energy, it's cardinal energy. And Aries is a fire sign. It's a cardinal sign, which means it initiates action. It's the first fire sign. So, you know, it's ruled by Mars. So it's impatient. You know, there's a shadow side. You have to balance each sign. So each sign has a shadow side and each sign has a purest vibration. And the purest vibration of Aries is taking risks and taking risks from the heart, taking risks into the unknown, sort of like, but not doing it from an ego-based, you know, I'm going to win, I am going to show them, I am going to, you know, get validation, I'm going to attain power. It's none of that. It is about taking a leap into the unknown for the sake of change through the heart and not through the mind. And so this period of the last month that we have experienced has really honed in the world around us and how we've kind of perhaps created a box there. So we've had a lot of wounding come through. Chiron is currently moving through Aries. We have a stellium in Aries right now. So actually our stellium in Aries just ended, but we do have Jupiter and Chiron in Aries right now. So, you know, there was a lot of Aries energy over the last month to really look at what our informing action comes from, where it comes from, if it's been surrendered to create peace around us, meaning placating, or if you are right fighting to be heard, how we apply our energy. And, you know, as we know, wherever we apply our energy grows. So it's important to understand that, you know, if we're trying to be seen and heard and we are applying energy to something that does not hear us, we are wasting energy. The prompting is to stop applying energy and move on to where you don't have to yell to be heard. And that's it. So with this Aries energy coming in with Mars very much in play, you know, Aries energy is very playful. It gets bored very easily. It wants to try new things. And so when we throw in the element of not having fear, I mean, can you imagine if everybody made the same amount of money no matter what they did for a living, right? And there wasn't such a thing as fame or power or prestige. Do you know how many different things that you would try without fear, without worry of loss, without worry of judgment? You know, you would do multiple things. If you made the same amount of money being a surgeon and made the same amount of money as being a florist, you know, you would just put your hands in all the things out of sheer excitement and out of curiosity. And that's really the energy that's coming in with this Aries energy. Now, the other side of this Aries energy is, are you coming in haughty, right? Do you need to validate yourself? And this is where the Mars energy of the ego, the broken ego, comes in. So, you know, are you holding on to things to prove a point? Are you holding on to things to see it out? Are you being willful? The eclipses are going to shake that area to the core. This first eclipse is going to allow you to make that choice, but as the Aries Libra eclipses play out over the next 2.5 years, it's going to be you're going to be in a very different place with a very different realization and ultimately healing in the way that you create movement in your life and the source of intention that it comes from, which is really the point. So the last time we had an eclipse on the last time we had an eclipse in Aries at 29 degrees was April 19th, 2004. And this was at 29 degrees. So we are actually repeating this down to the exactness. And this will also happen for our eclipse, our lunar eclipse in Scorpio in May. It'll be at the exact degree. So we really want to look at that time to see what's coming up. And you'll start to notice, without going into specifics, that you are going to be presented the same choices and you're going to have the opportunity to do it differently. And not to do it differently because you're fearful, but to do it differently because you understand that moving from the informing of the heart will always grow you, even if there is a little bit of trepidation. Moving from the security of the mind will always paint you into a box. And that's really the big lesson moving in here. The signs that will benefit most from this eclipse will be obviously fire signs. They will be in trine to this eclipse. So if you have any natal planets that are located in the final degrees of Leo or Sagittarius, this is going to be a good positive eclipse for you. It'll be very supportive. A trine is 120 degree angle, and it gives a opportunity, and it's very supportive. If you are in the mutable sign category, such as Cancer and Capricorn, you are going to be at square of this eclipse, which means that it's going to test your tradition and your values and make you kind of break open your dogma and see where you are creating movement from and how it's working. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different result. And this is really going to be whenever we have any planets in square to an eclipse, it's an awakening, it's resistance, and it's going to ask you how willful you're going to be. It's important to understand too, which I'll get into after I talk about the eclipse that the very next day that Mercury is going to be going retrograde in Taurus for the first time since 2016. And I'll tie those two together. But, you know, if you are Cancer or Capricorn, have a rising sign there, natal placements, your MC, your IC, any of your angles in this area at the end of those two signs, there will be a square. So there will be resistance. And how you handle that resistance or understand that informing will very much shape into the lessons that are going to be handed to you over the course of the summer, because we do have a lot of astrology coming this summer that is meant for great awakenings. I mean, you know, when you can't have Pluto enter into Aquarius, into a new age and a new era without us being woken up in a way that, you know, it doesn't matter how hard you're sleeping, you're going to have to wake up at some point. And so this eclipse is really going to do that. Now, if you have any planets at 29 degrees, between 25 and 29 degrees Libra, you are going to be in opposition of this. This is going to be a massive awakening. You may find out information that you really don't want to hear, but it is going to change. It's one of those eclipses that whatever comes to light can't be unseen. That doesn't have to be bad. A lot of times we are moving in a false reality because we have information kept with us, from us. And so this will be the opportunity for this information to come to light. So we can expect big changes with the cardinal signs. And it's really important to understand, too, that Pluto is going to be squaring this eclipse. It'll be an out-of-sign square by 1 degree, so it's very much in play, even though Pluto is at 0 degrees Aquarius. It is going to be transforming whatever happens. Pluto is the higher vibration of Mars. Mars owns Aries. And if Mars is passion, Pluto is obsession. And that doesn't mean that Pluto is a negative planet. I'm just using this as a barometer to understand the amount of pressure that Pluto uses to transform things from one state to another. And Pluto is a ego course corrector, and what I call it. And what that means is that whenever we deal with Pluto, it is going to strip us bare and bring us back to true. And so if we are moving from, you know, internal wounds, you know, broken informing through broken ego, Pluto is going to create an environment where that can't happen anymore. And it is going to create a tremendous amount of resistance, either in consequence or in feeling, where when we finally feel all those feelings, we are transformed from one state to another. Like a cucumber turning into a pickle can never be a cucumber again. And this is very much how Pluto works. A more accurate description of Pluto's energy would be a pile of sand and applying so much pressure to it that it turns into a diamond. And that ultimately is how Pluto works. So you're rising like a phoenix from the ash. So this is going to be an intense and powerful eclipse for many people. It's going to be a will breaker, and it's supposed to be. So if you notice any resistance coming this week and you are moving in a right fighting way or need to be right or need to win or something that is out of your own true self, in order to accomplish power or control, you know, if you have control over something and it's falling apart and you have to lie to keep that control, or you have to come out of your true self to keep that control, you know, it's you're going to learn a lesson, and that's just what it is. Now, for those of us who have been working with this energy, you know, we understand that, you know, getting down to the truest form of who we are and where we come from, ultimately, which is source, you know, when we're able to make movements from there without the fear of the unknown, without expectation of grandeur, then that's when we make our truest moves and growth. And that takes bravery. That takes massive bravery. And that's really the direction that we want to go in. Now, what's interesting about this eclipse as well, which is good to note, is that this will especially affect people born in 1975, 1976, and 1977. As a matter of fact, it's going to be a direct hit more than likely on people who are born in the beginning of 77, which would have been when Chiron made its way to 29 degrees Aries. In 76, it was somewhere between 24 and 27 degrees, I believe. And then in 75, around those same degrees. So if you're within a 5-degree orb of 29 degrees with your natal Chiron, you are going to feel this. So this is going to bring, this is going to trigger some childhood wounding. And you either have the opportunity to see what you've created subconsciously from that and then heal yourself, unwind that karma and move forward, or you're going to create another karmic entanglement, and most likely within the one that you have now because of fear of the unknown prompted from your informing wounded child. So this is going to be a big deal eclipse for people who have natal Chiron in that area or any natal planets, but natal Chiron especially. And also the last time Chiron is in a 50-year cycle. So the last time Chiron was in Aries was in the late 70s. Before that, if anybody's listening, born between the years of 1925 and 1927, this will be affecting you in the same way. It'll be hitting your Chiron in the late degrees of Aries. So that is what we can look forward to coming in. Advice that I have over the next week, as the waning moon is currently stationed at 16 degrees Aquarius, and we'll be moving into void tomorrow from 11 o'clock in the morning Eastern time until almost 7:30 Eastern time until the moon moves into Pisces. It'll be waning in Pisces until Tuesday. And then we will be in the trek of the waning moon in Aries. And during that particular dark moon time from 0 degrees Aries to 28 degrees Aries is where we profoundly release. So it would be a good idea to, if you wanted to do ritual during that time, write down a list of things that you don't want to bring with you after this powerful eclipse, whether it's feelings, thought patterns, internal dialogue, whether it's, you know, habits that you want to break or things in your life that you have a hard time letting go of. Any of those things you want to write down on a piece of paper and meditate with those and burn that list before the eclipse actually happens. So Eastern time, I would do it before midnight. I would do it on April 19th before midnight. And for everyone else, I would give yourself about 15 minutes before the actual time. If it's at 12:12 a.m. on Eastern time, then it's 11:12 p.m. Central time. It is 10:12 p.m. Mountain time and 9:12 p.m. Pacific time. So note that accordingly. Now, as we move into, after we have this fantastic eclipse, all planets direct ends for 2023 officially with Mercury stationing retrograde. Mercury has been in shadow since last week, and I know that we have all felt that. I have had a lot of panic phone calls, text messages around computers, cars, things of that nature, travel plans, all of those things. You know, a typical rule of thumb with Mercury retrograde is that if it's something new and it's, you know, especially if it's electrical or has to do with technology, It's important that if you are going to buy it or replace it, that you do it before the retrograde or you get a warranty. But ultimately, it's best to avoid anything new in between the dates of Mercury retrograde in general. So Mercury retrograde for this spring is going to occur on April 21st, and it will continue through May 15th. During that period of time, we are going to obviously be revisiting things from the past. That is what happens here. We get old information. Normies, as I like to call them, will learn the lesson of retrograde when they continue to do things over and over again, and then they have to come up for a repair at the next retrograde cycle, or even in that whole, when I say cycle, the next retrograde, but also it can come back in a grander cycle. And what I am referring to in a grander cycle is the last time Mercury was retrograde in Earth signs, in total Earth signs, not half in, half out, was the year of 2016. So the last time we experienced the full Mercury retrograde in Taurus would have been April 28th, 2016 through May 22nd, 2016. And on coincidence, the last eclipse of the Aries-Libra cycle of that year, however, the North Node was located in Libra, in Scorpio, was that year on March 23rd. So we're kind of repeating the same energy, so to speak, which is interesting, that same cardinal energy. So for those of you who are wondering what may be coming back on deck, go back to that time if you can't remember, if you have short-term memory issue, if you have short-term memory issues, then I would recommend making a Spotify playlist of the music that was going on back then, and don't focus on it. Just kind of allow yourself, and this works for eclipses too, if you go back to 2004, just allow things to arrive on their own. It usually happens when we check out and all of a sudden memories start flooding back. What's the importance of Mercury retrograde in Taurus? I'm glad you asked. So Mercury retrograde in Taurus is all about love, money, beauty, value, safety, and security. So it's all the Taurus, and Mercury is the planet of communication. What is interesting about this particular retrograde is that Venus is currently in Gemini. Gemini rules Mercury, which is in Taurus, and Taurus rules Venus, which is in Gemini. So we have a mutual reception here. As a matter of fact, today in my Moon Lodge group, in the informing, I wrote about how the square of Venus in Gemini to Saturn in Pisces, how that would affect us and what kind of energy we would receive from that. But also anything that comes up over the next week, or particularly over this weekend, where you find resistance around, instead of being willful, unless, of course, you're in danger or you're trying to stop something from being in danger, it's important not to push your will because of the impending Mercury retrograde. The impending Mercury retrograde is going to look at what we value and why we value it, if we value ourselves, and if we don't, you know, are we expecting to be valued by others, basing our own value on the reception of others. This is also going to look at safety and security and what we actually think we need and the things that we refuse to let go of because we are scared to let go of that. We often think about finances, right? Taurus is the natural ruler of the second house of the horoscope wheel, regardless of what you have there. I have Cancer and Leo there, but it has Taurus values at baseline. So this is the earned income house. This is the safety and security and self-worth house. And, you know, are you receiving your worth in your interactions with others? And, you know, we could use employment as an example, which would be, you know, especially in these times where we are experiencing an employee shortage, the employees that are showing up are doing the work for, you know, not only themselves, but two other people. So are you getting paid in a way that is comparable or compensates you for the amount of work that you're giving? Are you receiving your value in the energy that you are putting out? And that's what we're really going to be looking at here in terms of money value, but also, and this also goes with Capricorn as well. We experienced the Mercury retrograde in Capricorn in late December into January of this year. And it really has to look at, you know, the Earth signs are about the application of time as well, to some extent, more so Capricorn because it's ruled by Saturn. Taurus is ruled by Venus. But you have to look at, you know, what you find of value. You know, aesthetic value fades, but the love inside of us, which is the true vibration of a healed Venus, is where our true beauty comes from. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. We radiate from the inside out. And that is the lesson. So, you know, definitely over this Mercury retrograde, you know, you don't want to mess around with trying a new hairstyle. You don't want to mess around with, you know, buying a whole new wardrobe. I know it's exciting because it's spring. If you do that, if you don't want to listen to me, keep the receipts, make sure you can return everything. I always make the joke, don't cut bangs during this time. This is definitely the time you don't want to cut bangs. As a matter of fact, Venus will be retrograding this summer. You know, that happens once every 16 months. So we're going to have a window of getting beauty and aesthetic stuff done if you want to get that done. But now is not the time. So I would hold off on those things. I would hold off around investing. I would hold off around changing employment. What you are being offered will greatly change when you start working just after Mercury goes direct. So it's important to understand that. But the main function of this, because Mercury is our planet of communication, internal dialogue, and the way that we comprehend things, it is really looking at if you are receiving your worth and value by the world around you. And if you are not, you need to understand whether or not you are giving yourself that same medicine. Do you value yourself? Do you have self-worth? Do you understand how amazing you are and that you don't need to be validated to stand in that light? This is the main lesson of this moving forward. In human terms, in everyday life, you know, if you don't want to end up spending a massive amount of money fixing a problem, doing it right the first time, I would avoid buying anything until Memorial Day. I would, you know, obviously, you know, someone is probably going to call and say, Jen, well, I have to buy a car while it's happening. Get a warranty. That's what I have to say, is get a warranty. And we'll see that, you know, our check engine lights start coming on around this time. It's time to get rework done. So we're re-looking at things. X's will definitely come back during this time. Also a reevaluation of our love life and why we're there. You know, are we in partnerships because of duty outside of self? The important thing is to understand is that if you need to tone yourself down who you really are, or you need to come out of your true self, not be who you are, who you truly are, in order to maintain a relationship with someone, that relationship has got to go. That relationship does not value who you really are. And chances are the reasons why you are there is out of duty, it's out of tradition, it's out of obligation, or it's out of fear of the unknown. It's out of fear of never being loved, or it's out of fear of being alone. There's so many different things. And, you know, this is also, because it's in Taurus, is a good time to check out old restaurants that you haven't been to in a really long time. Now, this is a collective energy. Clearly, you want to look in your chart and you want to see what house Taurus is located in for you. For me, this would be in my 11th house. So I would look at, you know, what I'm calling into my life for manifestations, because this is the hopes and wishes house. What am I calling into my life for manifestations? Has my, you know, internal center changed where what I thought I wanted doesn't actually support how I'm growing? you know, is what I was calling in more supportive of being validated and being noticed rather than in support of my true soul's growth. So this would also see old friendships coming back. Do I want to apply energy to these friendships? Are they in alignment with, you know, are they matching my energy? Are they in alignment with who I am now? And we can return to things with love, but not take them along for the long-term ride, if that makes sense. There's a lot of growth here. There's a lot of growth coming in. And of course, Taurus, being a Venusian sign, is about the Empress and is about growth. So we're planting seeds and taking weeds is what the soul needs, right? And I just made that up. I'm a poet and I don't even know it. So we are at 5:35 p.m. Eastern time. I'm happy to take a caller. Let me go ahead and... Hi, caller. Welcome to Star Medicine Podcast.
Thank you so much. You need my birthday?
I do. Hold on. And what's your name?
It's Pat.
And what's your birthday?
7/12/53. Do you need to know what time or where?
Yeah, hold on for 1 second.
Sure.
What was the year? What was the year again?
1953, 5/3.
Yep. And what time?
11:51 a.m.
And where were you born?
New Haven, Connecticut.
All right. Hold on for 1 second. It didn't go directly to your chart, but I can just pull it up. We'll take 1 second. So are you in Connecticut now?
I am.
We're getting the good weather. I'm really excited.
Uh-huh.
I said, we're getting the good weather. I'm really excited. I'm in Maine. So, you know, we're finally getting some nice consistent. It's going to be 40 again tomorrow, but I'll take it. I'll take what we have today. So you're experiencing your Venus return right now. That happens about every 16 months. Mars has just entered into your 10th house of career. You're going to be experiencing the eclipses in your 7th house of partnerships. This can be serious partnerships, live-in partnerships, business partnerships, as well as catty coworkers, because it's open enemies. You know, like people that you have to share space with and they know that you don't really care for them and they don't really care for you and it's mutual. So this first eclipse is going to be happening on April 20th for us on the East Coast. It's going to be in your 7th house of relationships. Are you currently with someone?
I have not been with anyone for probably 30 years. I've lost count, maybe 35 years. Single.
And have you been starting to get the, you know, urge to want to have someone in your life?
It began early last year, yes.
Yeah. Well, it looks like, how are things going now? Because it feels like, you know, your truest expression of self needs to come out. So either this relationship is going to end because you know, you're not able to be who you truly are, or this relationship is going to go through an epic doorway where it is going to start growing. Where do you feel that you are now? Do you feel like you know your partner really well? Are you able to be yourself, or do you have to tone down who you are?
I think you misunderstood me. I've not been in a relationship for 30 or 35 years.
No, I heard you say that, but you had said something that started about a year and a half ago. You mean you're wanting to get into a relationship started about a year and a half ago?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, and that is because the eclipses in Taurus and Scorpio that are ending this year were in your houses of 2 and 8. And even though those are financial houses and houses of great transformation, they're also houses of incredible value of self and vulnerability and surrender into the unknown. I call these the soulmate houses. And so we really start looking for someone deeply that we want to connect with. But I need to ask you, have you started to deeply connect with yourself on a soul level first?
Yes, that's first. I am doing some ministering, which I think is going to be life-changing. I have been working on myself for quite some time now, and I have to say in the past maybe 6 months, it's the first time that I'm receiving help. So that's wonderful, too, you know, some really good help. So gifts.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with you having your son in Cancer, and not only that, but it's conjunct Mars. I mean, I have my son in Sagittarius is conjunct Mars in Sagittarius in my chart. This is and you also have Uranus conjunct here too. I mean, you're very independent. Okay. And so what happens is that, you know, you tend to shut yourself off on a base level because, you know, it's easier to not be vulnerable. You know, you're such a sensitive soul, to be honest with you. So for you to actually open up and be open to help or any form of help of unpacking this is a massive period of growth for you. And may I ask, what, you know, can you remember what was going on in 2004, spring and fall?
I can't. And I have to tell you, my whole life, literally up until this year has, and I don't mean to be negative, it's just a fact, has been hell. So difficult. Oftentimes I think this is astrological, it's a contract, and will I ever get out of it? And I finally feel like I'm getting out of it. But all the years are a blur of misfortune, no matter what year you mention. I have to say the past 15 years have been extremely difficult. And then the past three, even more so. It's all a blur as far as.
Well, can I be extremely frank? Would you mind if I'm extremely frank looking at your chart?
No, I love that.
And please know that you're talking to someone who spent the first half of their life being incredibly willful as well. So this is not, you know. I want this to be medicine for you because I think you're stepping into this part of your life in this way now and leaving that all behind. And what I mean by that is that you have an incredible amount of energy. First of all, your childhood wounding, you know, happened within your home. And so it had to do with I don't want to get into specifics because we're on a broadcast network here, but you know, it has to do with not receiving enough nurturing, and therefore shutting that down and trying to get validation from other people. But, you know, and that's typical of most people's wounding because I can't get into specifics on your chart because it's personal. However, what I do want to say is that you have controlled every facet of your life due to fear, meaning that if you have plan A, B, C, D, and E, and you don't have to be vulnerable, then you're going to be okay and you're going to get the validation that you need. You have your natal sun, your natal Mars, and your natal Uranus all in the 10th house. This means that, you know, you want to be seen. You want to be successful. You want to prove people wrong. And so the entire time that you've been on this planet has been about knocking your ego back about 9 steps. And it's not because the universe doesn't love you. It's because the universe wants you to move from your heart and not do things to be seen anymore. When you have Uranus conjunct the sun like you do, first of all, you're very psychic. And you also have a lot of energy. So you have to get that energy out rather than trying to control things or play whack-a-mole. You have to move your body and you have to deeply feel your feelings. That's not a measure of weakness. It actually allows the energy to leave your body instead of staying trapped there, because when things happen to you, you used to react in a very triggered manner, and it was a triggering that, you know, perhaps kept going from childhood. So whenever we have Uranus involved, Uranus is an ego course corrector, but it teaches us the value that you have control over nothing, and the only way that you can use Uranus is to let go. It's like when you step into the ocean into a riptide. If you struggle with the riptide, what happens?
You can drown.
Right? So with Uranus, it wants you to lay limp and allow it to take you where you need to go. And that takes trust and vulnerability. that takes, you know, being able to say, I don't know the answer, being able to say that I can't do that, being, you know, that's what it takes. And so right now, for the first time in your life, you are stepping into surrender, taking this long to do it. And I'm not surprised, because you do have your natal moon in Leo. It is conjunct Mercury in Leo, which is also retrograde. And, you know, this retrograde period that's coming up in your eighth house, you know, you are going to be experiencing Mercury square your natal Mercury. You're going to experience it three times. You just experienced it last week. You're going to experience it again during the week of the eclipse. And then when it goes direct around Memorial Day. And what this is like, it has to do with, first of all, how you see information. Are you seeing information from a defensive, right? Or are you seeing information from an objective? And when you get that information, are you reacting from an offensive, or are you allowing are you allowing the truth of yourself to resonate with you and allow things to sort itself out? You know, for instance, you know, it's very rare, because everybody knows the truest version of me, you know, but I had someone let loose some flying monkeys, you know, because they were afraid that, you know, I would drown their character, right? And instead of me getting on the horn and right fighting that, I knew it wasn't true. So you know what I did? I didn't apply any energy to it. Whatever we apply energy to grows. Eventually, you know, everybody who knows me knows who I am. I don't have to go on a picket line and, you know, preach my worth. So it's very important for you as you move forward that, you know, put yourself out there, put your truest, most vulnerable self out there, and understand there are broken people out there.
Yes.
And that you have to listen to your internal informing. You know, when we are in cycles and patterns of, especially in relationships, and we meet karmic partners that bring out our triggers, and that's why they're there.
Yeah.
We are attracted to them because they have something that we don't believe that we have on a subconscious level. So, you know, as you go through this process of awakening and opening and being vulnerable, know when to hold them, know when to fold them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And be your truest version of yourself, because you're really coming into a fantastic time. I mean, I'm not going to go too much into the future, but I will say that, you know, as this Aries Libra eclipse cycle starts, it's really going to look at who you are in relationships and who you are in the relationship to yourself. You know, this would be an amazing time during this eclipse for you to write down everything that you ever wanted in a partner without shame and without judgment, right? Write everything down. Yep. And then on the other side, I want you to write down all the ways you do that for yourself. Check it off. And on the ones that you can't check off because you don't do that, I want you to start doing that for yourself. That'll change the energy that you're putting out there, and it will change the quality of people you'll start attracting in your life, because if you are already filling your own cup, you're not going to be looking at, you know, someone like you need someone. You're going to be looking for someone to support who you are in the fullest, most beautiful way. Does that make sense?
This is amazing. And literally what you described before is what was happening and going to happen in the eclipses. Literally, I did it successfully the first time last week. As you said, that was the first incident. Very interesting what you're telling me about the ego and surrendering and all of that. And I'm very pleased that last week I was able to take a different course of my offensiveness or defensiveness, and just kind of let go and kind of wonder rather than, this is wonderful what you're telling me.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you've entered into this part of your life. you know, and it's going to be so much more meaningful moving forward and so much more relaxed and so much more fun. The most authentic part of you is going to be able to be liberated. And you know, without the intention of reception, right? We want to be happy with, and it doesn't matter what we receive, but the gift is what shows up when we are, right? Right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
And well, it was wonderful talking to you, Pat. I hope you have an amazing eclipse season. Oh, yeah, you're so welcome.
You.
Have a great night.
You too. Bless.
We have 10 minutes left of the show, and that was our last caller. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Moon Lodge, which is my online Patreon group. It has three tiers. The first one being $3, the second one being $7, and the last one, the Wise Wild Woman tier, is $13. On the $13 membership, you get all the benefits of the other two tiers, plus you also get entrance into our private Facebook community. And in the private Facebook community, you will find hundreds of hours of practice videos at your demand. We have Kundalini yoga practice videos. We have chakra yoga practice videos. We have herbal wisdom informing. We have energy downloads, tarot readings, and of course, astrology with yours truly. In this community setting, we have free readings. We have Facebook Lives. I go on once a week to do live astrology informing, as well as take a few lucky members and read their chart and do an energy tune-in. And if you are looking to understand astrology on a deeper level, I write daily informing here, and I do it in a way where it is not in a horoscope format. So we understand the basic energy and how to use it to fully understand who we are, which is, you know, of the purpose of being here, right? We also are going to be having our inaugural Moon Lodge retreat this year in Delavan, New York, which I'm very excited. This will happen September 1st through the 4th. You can find details about that on my website, which is located at www.thankgoddess.org. You can book readings there. You can find my instant downloadable astrology course, which is a four class course with handouts, and you can learn at your own pace. You can sign up for the retreat. You can sign up for Patreon. You can find out more about Star Medicine Podcast. I will say that if you are interested in seeing me for a reading, I do every year. I take off my astrological winter, which occurs when the transit sun is moving through my 12th house. And that'll be occurring this year right before Memorial Day, and it will wrap up. I will return to readings somewhere around July 7th or July 9th. So I do have some room in my schedule prior to me taking a long break. So if you'd like to get in the schedule, I would recommend doing that now because I will not be able to see anyone until July. Also, I'm trying to remember what else I'm working on here. Oh, yes. If you want to join Moon Lodge on Patreon, which has three tiers of informing, you can find that at www.patreon.com/Moon Lodge. If you'd like to follow me, I do announce my live programming on Instagram, which is located at thank_goddess. I can also be found at Star Medicine Podcast on Instagram, as well as at Moon Lodge Community on Instagram as well. So if you would like to find out more about what I am doing or understand when I will be going live, I will not be doing a program next Friday. I am going to a retreat, a all-women's retreat for ceremony. And so I am looking forward to spending the eclipse energy in that way. For anyone out there, I'm excited to talk about this quote unquote journey that I'm going on. I will admit I am nervous, as anyone would be, embarking on what I'm about to do. But you know, I am willful and I am strong and I am source, and I will, surrender to it is what I will do. So we have about 6 minutes left. I will take one more caller. Don't know if I'll have time to answer everything. Hi, caller. Welcome to Star Medicine Podcast.
Oh, is this me again?
Oh, is this
is
Pat?
Is this me again? Just listening, yeah.
Is this Pat?
Great show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm gonna let you go. I'm going to try to get the other.
Still listening, that's all.
Hi, caller. Welcome to Star Medicine Podcast. Hello. Well, you know, Mercury's retrograde, as you can see with the technical programming. So I'm just going to round this out with this week you want to make sure you are releasing anything that does not serve you. And the way that you can really step into that is understand what is around you that makes you grow. Those are the things that you want to keep. The things that shrink you or keep you from being who you really are, or you have to fight to be seen, you have to fight to be heard, or you have to lie to keep, or you have to pump yourself up to do every single day. Those are the things that we really need to take a hard look at and decide whether or not they truly are for us and who we are becoming. When we are trying to control our environment, we do not allow growth. And just like water in stagnancy, this creates septus, you know, this creates disease, and this creates an environment where things just cannot live and cannot grow. So please feel your feelings this week and understand where those feelings are coming from and allow them to release before you create reaction. Now, understand you're always where you're meant to be. So if you do create a reaction, you're just going to have more to clean up later. But at least it's out on the table so you can see it. A lot of times people don't even realize they do what they do until they actually do it and they can see it and it's on the table. But I am really looking forward to this supercharged Arnetic degree. 29 degrees is the mastery of a sign. And so we are really moving forward with zest and vigor. And on the other side of the coin, where some people are going to have some wills getting bruised, some egos getting bruised, which is all good. It's all good so that way we can wake up and be who we truly are. Well, thank you for joining us on this program. I'm going to let the fabulous and talented Josh Michael Robbins lead us out with his amazing music. He is just, I always gush about him whenever I have some time on the podcast. He's a talented musician in many bands, but I'll tell you, his own self-work is just amazing, and he allowed me to use his music for this podcast, and I couldn't be more grateful. So enjoy. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you on the other side of the moon.